Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for the morning service. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our Saturday morning Sabbath service. Let us sing hymn 130. Sing hymn 130.
To seek His rest on this the Sabbath day, He has bestowed on those who believe. And wonders of His love, the wonders of His love, the wonders, wonders of His love. Jesus our Lord, remember this day with joy and love for all. So do let us listen to His call and gather here as one, and gather here as one, and gather here as one. No more shall sin control our hearts. Let God instead be from His hand, and now and evermore, for now and evermore, for now and evermore. Heaven on earth shall here be seen. On this the Sabbath day, the poor now wish, the low now raise. On earth as it is hand, on earth as it is in hand, on earth as it is in hand.
We thank to the grace of the Lord that we are still able to continue to worship Him, even though in our homes, and we know that the MCO already extended. But no matter how, we thank the Lord that we are able to continue to study His words, to pray to Him and to worship Him. Now let us kneel down and pray. We ask our Lord Jesus to guide us in our Sabbath service. Let's together pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Are you sure?
In Jesus' name, let us now study the topic, certainty of our hope. We will take two Sabbaths to study on this topic. Again, I say, for our mutual encouragement, we will study on the certainty of our hope. For our study, we will run through 3 points. Number one, we will study on the definition of hope. Today, we know in our life on the earth, we have a lot of the hope that we have set, and we hope that we are able to obtain what we have set. But of course, today, when we say the hope, what is the definition of hope? So hope tells us about the expectation, the conviction, and the confidence on what that is not seen. So today, we may be convicted, we may be sure that whatever that we set or we hope to obtain, what is not seen, and in the end, we're able to obtain it. So this is hope. So again, we say, hope is the expectation, the conviction, and the confidence on what that is not seen. For if we hope on what is seen, then this is not hope. Let us refer to Romans. Romans chapter 8, 24 and 25. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? Verse 25. For if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. All right, so this passage here, Paul tells us today, now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hope for what is seen? All right, so today, we hope for what we do not see. So this is the definition of the hope. So remember, hope is the expectation, the conviction, and the confidence on what that is not seen. But of course, today we know this hope also is not on what is earthly or what we say physical or material. For we know what is the earthly, what is physical or material, it is transient. It is only temporal. And in the end, we know that all this will pass away. It will not last. Just likened to what is recorded in the 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, 15 down to 17. We are familiar with this verse. In the verse 15 tells us that we should not love the world and the things in the world. Because if we love the world, for the love of the Father is not in him. And we know that all that is in the world, verse 16 says, that it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And especially verse 17, and the world passes away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. All right, so today we know the world and the things in the world, it will not last. All these will pass away. So if today we set our hope on what is earthly, what is physical, what is material, so in actuality, it will not last. It will all pass away. So that's why when we say hope, we must set our hope on what that is unseen, that which is eternal. Let's refer to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. All right, so today, when we say hope, we must set our hope on what is unseen. And what is unseen, it is eternal. All right, so from the Bible, we are able to know all these are the definition of the hope. All right, so again, we repeat, hope is the expectation, the conviction, and the confidence on what that is not seen or unseen. All right, so what we are able to see, it is not eternal, it is only temporal, and in the end, all this will pass away. Second point. Now we will run to the author or the foundation and the channel of our hope. All right, the author, the foundation, and the channel of our hope. As recorded by Paul in the Ephesians. At the time, Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus. He reminded them about their past position, their past status. And then he told them about their present position. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let us read verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Paul told them, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. All right, so this is their position in the past. And in relation to the hope, Paul says, having no hope. All right, but then later through the gospel, all right, through the gospel, they were able to know and to understand about the hope that is in Christ, the hope that is in the Lord Jesus. So there was a change in their position from one having no hope to one who has hope. And why they have hope? Because the channel is through the gospel. Okay, let's continue to read Ephesians chapter 3. Let us read verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 6. That is how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Just now we have read in chapter 2, at the time they were separated from Christ. They were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and they were strangers to the covenant of promise. But in the chapter 3, verse 6, we see that there is a change. Now, how the Gentiles, they are able to be fellow heirs. They are members of the same body, and they are now partakers of the promise that is in Christ. And Paul says it is through the gospel. All right, so today, the gospel, it is the channel for one to be able to receive the hope. Let's refer also to Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, let us read verse 5. Verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. Paul told them that they have the hope, and this is what they are able to hear about this hope, that is, in the word of the truth, the gospel. Let's continue, verse 23. Verse 23. Provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, that has been preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So Paul told them, reminded them, that they must be stable, that they must be steadfast, not shifting what? From the hope of the gospel that they have heard. Alright, so means from the first day that they have heard the gospel, they have accepted the truth, they must still continue in this truth, the gospel, and to be firm in it. Alright, so this part tells us about the channel of the hope. And today we know what is the foundation, what is the author of the hope. Definitely, it is the Lord Jesus. Let's refer to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. So the lower portion, Paul tells us, Christ Jesus, our hope. Okay, let's also refer to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Verse 12. We who first hope in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of His glory. Again, Paul here tells us, we who first hoped in the Christ. All right, so thank the Lord today we have heard the gospel, the truth, and we know that Jesus, He is the author, He is the foundation of our hope. So Jesus is our hope. So today, we must still continue in the truth, in the gospel. Let us not forget what we have heard, but we must continue to be firm, to continue to know more about our Lord Jesus. All right, so this second part tells us about the author and the foundation and the channel of our faith. Now we come to the third part. So the third part now tells us, what is our hope? All right? What is our hope? Today we know there is only one hope. Let's refer to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Thank the Lord. Here Paul tells us that there is only one hope. All right, so take note. There are not many, many hopes. But from the Bible, we are able to know there is only one hope. So what is this one hope? So we must understand, what is this one hope? So it is what? The hope of salvation. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let us read verses 8 and 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. In the verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, let us put on the breastplate of faith and the love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So Paul tells us about the hope of salvation, verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus. So here tells us again about the salvation through our Lord Jesus. So that's why earlier we say, Jesus, he is the author, he is the foundation of our hope. So there is only one hope, alright? So this one hope, what is this one hope? It is the hope of our salvation. So from there, we must now consider. Today, many, they set their hope. They want a good and a comfortable life. All right. So it is for themselves, then also for the family. And we do not deny this is natural, this is normal. And of course, to many, it is a task, it is a duty, it is a responsibility that they must fulfill. All right. So many today, they set their hope for a good and a comfortable life. But what we want to say is that this hope, of course, that they set, it is earthly, of course. It is relates to the physical life. It relates to the body. Today we know we are made up of the three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. So today many set their hope that relates to the physical life, to the body, the well-being of their body and their life. All right, so many would want to have a comfortable, a luxurious, and a comfortable life. But let us understand, this is only physical that relates to the body. But when we say our one hope, the hope of salvation, it relates to the soul. All right, so it is spiritual and it is eternal. So salvation is of the future. It is not now. So it is now we are not able to see the fulfillment of it. That's why we hope about it. All right? Not likened to what we say, what we see in the world, what is physical. Now, it is what we see now presently, but it is not our hope. Because we say the definition of hope is on what is unseen. All right, so it is not what we are able to see. So when we say our hope, so remember there's only one hope, the hope of our salvation. It relates to the soul. So it is spiritual and it is eternal. And if we remember about the parable of the rich fool, that is recorded in Luke chapter 12 from the 16 to 21. Luke chapter 12 from the 16 down to 21. So it tells us about the parable of the rich fool. Alright, so from this parable, we know at the time Jesus wanted every one of us to understand and to know that today we must not follow this example of the rich fool. So from the verses 16 down to 21, we are very familiar. Here tell us about the parable. There was in the land a rich man who brought forth plentifully. So he had plans. He says, what shall I do? So for I have nowhere to store my crop. So he says, I will do this and do that. All right. But in the end, he also concluded, so you have ample goods laid up for you for many years. So he says, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But from the parable, we know at the time, God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? All right. So from the parable, from the chapter 12, 16 down to 21, we are able to see, to understand a few matters. Number one, of course, this rich fool, he was diligent for physical life, but he was not diligent in relation to his spiritual life. Then this rich man, he planned for the present life, but not the life after. Then also, this rich man, he was rich in the world, but he was not rich towards God. And of course, he was self-centered, but not God-centered. And in the end, we know he was complacent about his life because of his wealth. He even gave his own conclusion. But we know today life is not in our hands. All right. So this rich man, he set his hope on the things in the world. So he was diligent. He had planned. All right. But the thing is that he only planned for what is present, what is physical. But he neglected the more important one, that is the spiritual, and that is of the future. All right, so today, let us understand, we must set our hope on the Lord Jesus in the salvation that he wants to give to us. But of course, many will say, preacher, we know about all this. We know our hope. Of course, everybody, they will not say that they do not want to obtain the salvation. All right? So many will say, we know about all this matter. But the matter is, at times in our life, through our action, we show forth the opposite. All right? So today there is a need for us to reconsider. We must be very certain about our hope. So today, we must also be clear about our hope. So as we have mentioned, what is our hope? We say that there's only one hope, the hope of salvation. So under this hope of salvation, there are other different hopes. All right? So just now, as I say, there's only one hope. But today, many will say, no, preacher, not only one hope. We have a lot of hope. Yes, we have a lot of hope. But all these sub-points concerning this hope, it is under the one hope. Because Paul only says there is one hope. All right? So it is the hope of salvation. And under this hope of salvation, quickly, we run through now five areas. So when we say the hope of salvation, firstly, it tells us this hope of the second coming of Jesus. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 13, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here tells us we are now waiting for our blessed hope, the second coming of our Lord Jesus. All right, so this second coming of our Lord Jesus is our hope that relates to our salvation. Now, if today Jesus, he will not come, then we are not able to receive the realization of our salvation. But also we must remember in the 2 Peter chapter 3, in the 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 and verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 and verse 9, Peter says, verse 3, first of all, you must understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own passions. And they will say, where is the promise of his coming? And they will say, for ever since the Father fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. So in the here tells us, in the last days, there will be scoffers. They will not look forward for the coming of Jesus. They will question about the second coming of Jesus. But of course, in the verse 9, here says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. All right, so today, we know this is the time given to us, the grace given to us, so that we can repent, we can prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. All right, so let us not be like the scoffers. Today, from this pandemic, we already have heard in the past sermons, it is a very clear sign from the Lord. And it has affected different groups of people, all corners of the world, all right, whether rich or poor, whether you are knowledgeable or not knowledgeable, and so forth. All right, so today when we say the hope of our salvation, this relates to our hope of the second coming of Jesus. So we must look forward for this day. We must prepare ourselves well for this day. This is the first subsection concerning this hope. Then the second one, the hope of our resurrection. We know resurrection relates to the hope of our salvation. Let's turn to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, verse 6 and 7. Acts chapter 23, 6 and 7. This was during the defense of Paul. So in the verse 6, but when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, which with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial. All right, so some Bible says, in respect to the hope of resurrection. And at the time, in the verse 7, Paul, we know at the time, he purposely said that he was a Pharisee. Because in the verse 7 says, there is distinction between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because the verse 8, the Sadducees says that there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. All right, so at the time, Paul was under trial because Paul preached about the resurrection. He preached Jesus has resurrected. So today, when we say resurrection, it is our hope. And of course, in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are very familiar with this part. At the time, in the 4 verses 13 down to 16, Paul wrote to the believers that they should not be ignorant concerning those who are asleep, that they may not grieve as others do, those who have no hope. Because from 14 down onwards, Paul tells us about the resurrection. 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. All right, So at the coming of Jesus, those who die, they will be resurrected. So this is our hope. And the third sub-point concerning hope, the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. Let's refer to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised ages ago. Let's continue. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. So that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. So the third hope that relates to our hope of salvation, it is the hope of eternal life. And the fourth subsection concerning the hope of salvation, it is the hope of eternal inheritance, that is the heavenly kingdom. For this, let us refer to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. We will stop here, all right? The hope laid up for you in the heaven. And in the 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope. And it is through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And what is this hope, the living hope that we have? Verse 4, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. So thank the Lord. We have the hope of eternal inheritance, the heavenly kingdom. And of course, the subsection of the hope of salvation, it is the now number 5, the hope of sharing the glory of God. The hope of sharing the glory of God. Let's refer to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 2. Through Him we have obtained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. So in the future, we will have the glory of the Lord. And we know in the 2 Thessalonians, this is of the opposite. Let's refer to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. It tells us about those who are not saved. In the verse 9, they shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Alright, so those who are not saved, they will not share in the glory. But thank the Lord today, we have this one hope, which is the hope of our salvation. All right? So under this hope of salvation, it tells us about the hope of the second coming of Jesus, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life, the hope of eternal inheritance, and the hope of sharing the glory of God. So thank the Lord today. Let us be very clear. Let us be very certain, very sure about our hope. May the Lord bless us. Let's now conclude with our service. Let us sing hymn 36. Sing hymn 36.
When amid life's busy thronging, weary and lonely you sigh, when for your soul's deepest longing, not art to bring comfort each life. Hark on the listening ear falling, come servant tender and true. List to the gentle voice calling, bringing a message for you. Lift your eyes to the mountains, and your soul's yearning shall cease. Drink at the life-giving fountains, there to find rest and sweet peace.
Thank the Lord. Now we will say our second prayer. In our prayer, let's continue to pray the Lord guide us so that we can continue to endure this lockdown. Of course, we have already passed a month. It is around a month and 1 week. So we pray the Lord continue to strengthen us, continue to keep watch over us, to have good health. Let's continue to pray for one another, continue to pray for the church and for the world that this pandemic will be over soon. Let's in Jesus' name kneel down and pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you.
His grace abounded more. His grace abounded more. Though sins abounded in my heart, His grace abounded more. His grace abounded more. His grace abounded more. Though sins abounded in my heart, His grace abounded more.
We thank the Lord. We will end our morning service here. May the peace, the grace of the Lord be with us. Amen.